Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, there was a story that came from out of Columbine High School in Colorado several years back. You probably remember. It's a disputed story, but maybe true, of Rachel Scott, a student who was asked if she believed in God, or asked if she believed in Jesus. "You know I do," she replied, to which the gunman said, "Well, go be with him," right before shooting her in the head. That is one of a small number of examples of persecution, real, live, actual persecution of Christians in America. But the persecution of mockery and marginalization can make it just as difficult for us to confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior in the public square. For all, we know that around the world, Christians suffer because of their faith. Sometimes it is ostracism by family and friends because of the believer's newfound faith, as we see especially in Middle Eastern countries, where people are actually kicked out of their family or kicked out of their village for their belief in Christ. Happens all over the world. People are cast away because of their faith. Sometimes believers are in fact arrested by the civil authorities and are imprisoned for speaking out about their faith. And occasionally, even today, Christians are killed both within the law and outside the law because they believe in Jesus Christ. Even this week, there are stories of persecution. If you look in the bulletin at the family altar prayers, we have prayers for persecuted Christians every single week. Every single week, more stories of our brothers and sisters being persecuted for their faith. In our bulletin this week, you remember four families in Laos who were expelled from their village for their faith and yet continue to share the gospel with those around them in spite of persecution and in spite of ostracism. In Iran, five Christian men, including their pastor, continue to face charges for the last 2 years of evangelism, acting against national security. And what does that mean? Conducting illegal Christian gatherings, and yet are not bowed or shaken. Islamic extremists in Mali continue to harass Christians, destroying Bibles whenever they find them. Even today, even this week, there is persecution of Christians around the world. And all of this happens because these Christians, our brothers and sisters around the world, refuse to keep silent about their faith. When the government tells them to be quiet, they respond with Peter in our first reading from Acts 5, verse 29, "We must obey God rather than men." They cannot be silent about Christ. When they suffer for their faith, they join the disciples in verse 41, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Christ. Wow, how inspiring it is to know that our brothers and sisters around the world are so strong in their faith, even in the midst of such difficult circumstances, even in the face of such suffering. But how do we compare to that faith? After all, we don't face that same level of persecution here in America. Now, that's not to say that we don't face anything. We do, after all, face marginalization in the public square, that suddenly it is unpopular to be Christian and act like a Christian in business and politics. those who don't act like Christians get ahead, those who act like Christians fall behind. Christians are, in fact, forced to make tough calls all the time. However, for us, the choice doesn't come down to a do you believe in Christ, confess or die. For us, the choice may be more of a go to church or go to ball practice. And how sad is it that so many American Christians choose other things over worship when so many of our brothers and sisters around the world risk death every time they enter a church building? Christians are being pushed further and further into the corner by judicial rulings that limit the freedom of religion, something which we enjoy here in America, but others do not. A church in Iowa recently was told that they must abide by the transgender bathroom rulings or face fines. A church group in New Jersey was told that they must accept and permit same-sex weddings in their outdoor wedding chapel because it's open to the public. A group of pastors in Houston were actually told to hand over their sermons in order to make so that the city council could make sure they weren't saying anything against their upcoming transgender bathroom legislation. Now, none of this is even close to the same as what our brothers and sisters around the world face, but that level of persecution may, for all we know, lie in our future here in America. The time is coming when we may be told that we must officiate same-sex weddings in order to maintain a tax-exempt status. The time may be coming when we may be required to register our church with the government and have to teach what they tell us to, as our brothers and sisters in China must. The time may even come in our lifetime when Christians in America will be rounded up and forced to choose what either deny or die. And when that day comes, what will we do? With the disciples, we also will have a choice to obey a government which demands that we deny, or to confess the truth about Jesus Christ, no matter what the cost. But really, there is no choice here. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 10, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Or then again, in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, "The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." As Peter told the Sanhedrin in our reading, we must obey God rather than men. However, before his crucifixion, Jesus promised us that he will not leave us alone in these situations. In John 15, Jesus says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And then the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Jesus will not leave us to face this alone, but sends us the Holy Spirit who will help us and give us the words to say. They will lay their hands on you in Luke 21 and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. He gives us the message to confess him as Lord, and he gives us the strength to do it. So we do not have to be afraid of what may come our way in the future. After all, Jesus suffered before us, and he also died before us so that he could be with us through this. And by his resurrection, he gives us the confidence to face everything this life holds because we know that this life is not the end. I'd like to turn your attention to the news from 2 weeks ago, specifically the twin attacks on Coptic churches in Egypt, which occurred on Palm Sunday during their worship services. Why did the terrorists attack them? Because they believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. By attacking them, the terrorists hoped to scare them away from their faith and to silence them. Did it work? Not even a little bit. In fact, at the memorial service for those who were killed later that day, the preacher actually thanked the terrorists for granting the slain the gift of martyrdom, which brought them into the joys of heaven so much sooner. He expressed forgiveness for those who committed the crime and prayed for them to repent and come to know the love of God. This message of radical forgiveness left the entire world stunned, including those responsible for the attacks. The message of the gospel has reached further through their forgiveness than it would have had they not forgiven. That is what it means to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior in spite of and in opposition. It means forgiveness and love in the face of violence and hate. It is not something that we do ourselves, but it is something that God does in and through us. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.